Beloved listeners, and welcome to Advanced Living Radio. This is your host, Kenneth Lesser. Happy Saturday. Get ready for more fun and adventure. You know we have a commitment on this program. Daily, I put forward an intention. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to naturally, easily experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. Why? So we can enjoy a global loving community. Well, with that in mind, get ready, because wouldn't it be interesting? What if the best medicine, the most effective form of medicine, was also the least expensive? Now, is that at all tantalizing? Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to check in on that possibility today with Dr. Lisa Amerine, a licensed naturopath. And Dr. Amerine has studied extensively. She received her naturopathic medical degree from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, located in Tempe, Arizona. She also holds a bachelor's degree in science from Colorado State University, and she got that degree in human nutrition. Dr. Amerine has spent significant time in conventional and natural clinics to develop her skills as a physician, and she has focused her studies in pure homeopathy and nutrition, where she has spent several thousand hours in a clinical setting. Extensive literature reviews of the great masters of the past, including Hahnemann, Lippe, and I believe it's Bonenhausen, also she spent time in video classes with Dr. Andre Sayine. So this is a treat, a pure pleasure to welcome Dr. Lisa Amerine. Dr. Amerine, hello.
Hello, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, we mentioned in your credentials, and we've put forward this tantalizing hook there for people, is the most effective form of medicine also the least expensive? And I guess you may even want to share a little bit about that quote from Mahatma Gandhi, who freed a whole nation, huge number of people, from oppressive rule, and then had to govern and had to treat how many hundreds of millions of people and find what he could. And I don't know, do you have that quote handy? Because I have it in front of me.
You have it in front of me. I could get it in front of me in a matter of seconds. But why don't
Well, good. We'll bring that up shortly. In the meantime, what we're going to be talking about is homeopathy, and there's a large number of people that are not sure. So would you help us? What is homeopathy?
Certainly. My favorite thing to talk about. So homeopathy is a law of nature. It's based off of the law of similars. And so I'll break it down correctly, and then I'll give some analogies. So the word homeopathy literally means similar disease. So you have homeo, meaning similar, and pathy, meaning disease. So what this in reality means is the medicine that a sick person will receive will cause very, very similar symptoms in a healthy person if they were to take larger doses of the medicine.
Ah.
Hence
okay.
The concept of like curing like.
Oh, so, that's the old hair of the dog that bit you if people have been into drinking at all.
Yes.
They've often had too much to drink, and the next morning will have some more of what they had the night before.
Certainly, and it makes them feel a little bit better for a little while. That's a little bit different.
Okay, so this isn't drink your way to health.
No, not so much drink your way to health. certainly not. But there's certainly some examples that I can give to illustrate it a little better. It's kind of like treating fire with fire. You know, when there's a forest fire, oftentimes the fire rangers will go and put a line of fire so the fire line will stop and go out.
Oh, okay.
So that's one thing. Another great analogy that I give for how homeopathy is working, or the way that I will explain it, is that two similar things do not coexist in the same space. What happens when you have two similar things is they either destroy each other or one will outdo the other. So an example of this is if we take a magnet. We've all played with a magnet where you have the positive and the negative piece. So if you put the positive and the negative piece of a magnet together, Kenneth, what happens?
Well, they will attract to each other.
Absolutely. But if you put the two positive pieces of the magnet together, then what happens?
They repel or push apart.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing with homeopathy. Repelling each other apart is an example of two similar entities trying to exist in the same space, and by a law of nature, that cannot happen. So that's what we're doing with homeopathy. The medicine, the homeopathic medicine that somebody will receive, is very similar to the disease state that they naturally or dynamically have. The body recognizes the homeopathic medicine and says, oh, I already have this. This can't coexist in the same, I can't have both of them together, so you both have to go.
Oh.
So it's kind of, I mean, that's a
wow.
That's a fairly basic explanation of it.
Now, did you locate that quote from Gandhi? Because I have it in front of me. It's such a powerful one, and I happen to get it off your website, by the way, so I don't expect that you have it memorized.
I don't, but let's see here. I got sidetracked. I get telling what homeopathy is,
well,
and I get
sure.
excited.
okay, well, I've got
it right here.
Do you? Okay, please, tell me.
So homeopathy cures a larger percentage of cases than any other method of treatment and is beyond all doubt safer and more economical and the most complete medical science.
Wow.
And every piece of that is completely true. And if you would like, Kenneth, I would love to break it down and give examples of why this is for each of those.
Oh, yes. And now one of the things that I had heard some years ago, too, in my studies, is that the British royal family, going back for 150 years, there was an article on homeopathy, and it quoted that their primary care physician of the British royal family for 150 years has been a homeopathic physician.
Mm-hmm. And it still is. And in fact, I think Prince Charles broke his arm in a rugby match. Gosh, it's been several years now. And that was his primary thing, was using homeopathy to aid in the healing. And they all, the royal family still to this day has their own private personal homeopath, and that's their primary mode of medicine.
That's, in other words, something happens. They turn first to homeopathy, and now we have an understanding here, Mahatma Gandhi, who had to figure out, how do I care for hundreds of millions of people, and we don't have much money?
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to that conclusion that this is the cures a larger percentage of cases than any other method of treatment and is beyond all doubt safer and more economical and the most complete medical science.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anyway, I just had to pause and repeat that again because this is powerful. We've got a lot of adversity, a lot of stress out there, people trying things. The television is filled with commercials about, do you have this symptom, do you have that symptom? Well, you probably need to ask your doctor for some pharmaceutical, and then they list the downside of the pharmaceuticals that, I mean, it's like scare ya.
Yes.
Get the children out of the room.
Yes.
Absolutely. So please share more, and especially, you know, about homeopathy and its safety, because we know that these prescription pharmaceuticals, it may help one thing, but then your eyeball falls out or your arm drops off or you can't walk for the rest of your life. Just a little side effect.
Well, and the thing about prescription medicines is they're so young. They're really pharmaceutical medicines, not even 100 years old. Homeopathy is hundreds of years old. While it's been formally laid out and rules have been formally laid out since the time of Hahnemann in the 1800s, 1700s, Hippocrates talks about homeopathy and the safety of homeopathy. And one of the reasons homeopathy is so safe compared to any other medicine, even other natural forms of medicine, is that the homeopathic medicines are diluted down into very, 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 very small amounts. So small, it's one of homeopathy's biggest criticisms. However, the effectiveness or the plus side to this is because it's diluted down so much, if it's the wrong medicine, meaning that the symptoms that you were given the homeopathic medicine for do not match the symptoms that you have on your own, because it's diluted down so much, the body won't even recognize the medicine is there. So there's not these horrible side effects as there are in conventional medicine when you get on the wrong antibiotic and all of a sudden you have an allergic reaction and you have hives for weeks and weeks and weeks because you had a bad reaction to the medicine. Homeopathy, it's so small that the body, if it's not the right medicine, won't ever even notice that it's there.
Wow.
And so when it is the right medicine, the body recognizes it and says, oh, here we go, I can't have this, and it takes care of it. So it makes it incredibly safe for really people of any ages, whether it's an elderly person or a woman who is pregnant or a newborn baby. And there's so much to be offered there because how many... A pregnant woman, you read the internet or you talk to even a naturopathic doctor or your conventional doctor and you can't drink this tea or you can't have this or you can't do this and you can't have this pharmaceutical medication because of this. And the same thing with infants and children where you can treat them homeopathically and the results are profound and quick and effective.
Wow. This is amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here going, oh, come on. Either I've had too much to drink, or you're just boldly telling stories. I mean, how can this be true? This is too phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what Mahatma Gandhi, what the British royal family, I'm not sure. There's probably a decent list of now celebrities who can spend all the money in the world, and they go for what works best.
Certainly.
Wow. Now, help me to know a little bit more because we keep saying, okay, well, there's this homeopathic medicine and there's not much of it, so it can't cause a side effect. Can you go into a little more about what exactly is a homeopathic medicine?
Absolutely. A homeopathic medicine is made from a natural source. It's made from either a plant source, a mineral source, or an animal source. And what has happened is the source itself, whether it's a plant or a mineral or an animal source, has been diluted down very, very, very small amounts. And then those the liquid that's formed from this or how it's broken down is then medicated on little lactose pellets, making the administration of the medicine very easy. So the other things that I like to point out about homeopathic medicines on top of, you know, where they're made from is how that they're made. Homeopathy is the only natural medicine that's regulated by the FDA. And some people out here might be like, oh, well, that scares me right there. And I can see that point. The reason that I bring this up to be unique is because we know exactly how a homeopathic medicine is made. We know that if we're dealing with homeopathic caffeia cruda, for example, it's made from a caffeia cruda. It's diluted down in a certain way. It's succussed or shaken up in a particular way and administered onto a pellet a particular way. This is very, very, very different from other herbal medicines or other natural medicines where you could be buying echinacea, for example, and you don't know for sure how that plant was harvested or how that herb was made. There's just not that distinction. And so you might be getting something that's very pure, or you might not. So with a homeopathic medicine, we know exactly how it was made.
Wow, so there's a consistency.
Yes.
And then you mentioned some term I guess there's some dilution, and then this term succussion, which is probably not a part of everyday vocabulary for most of us.
Probably not.
But it does sound kind of like fun, I guess.
It does. Well, let me tell you about it. So when a remedy is made, what they will do is they will take one part of the crude dose. So we'll stick with caffeia cruda, or caffeia is how I'll refer to it. So they'll take one.
And that's an herb?
Caffeia is actually the coffee bean.
Oh.
So it's actually a coffee bean. So it's a plant source.
Okay.
And so how it is, what is done is one part of the caffeia is taken to 99 parts of an alcohol water blend. And it's stirred up, and it's what's called succussed, which means it's shaken violently, kind of like what we're doing is we're creating friction. And then they'll take, so now we have this solution that has one part of the caffeia to 99 parts of water, and then we've shaken it up. And then we'll take one part of the new solution that we've made, and we'll put that in another 99 parts of water, and then we'll shake it up again, and we succuss. So the action of succussion is creating friction to activate, so to speak, the some of the actions of the remedy.
Okay. And this is one of the keys. So it's not just diluting and then further diluting and further diluting. That's an important part, which, if I'm understanding correctly, this diluting many times is how you were saying previously that when this is taken into the body, it is a minute amount of the actual substance, so no worries about allergic responses.
Correct.
And then in addition, this succussion, I've heard some people call it potentizing or energizing.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling it this frictionizing process of this violent shaking. Or I've seen people take a bottle and just pound it in their hand or against like a table with a towel on it or something. I don't know how many ways there are to do this, but apparently that's another way of activating this remedy.
And what you're doing essentially is creating friction.
Friction.
It's kind of like if we did take a piece of sand and we just put sand in water, it sinks to the bottom. But if we take sand and we have a little bit of moisture to it and we rub it really hard, most of us do this by ourselves, but eventually it turns into a glass. It's that friction that brings it up. That's what's happening with the succussion or the potentization is you are activating it, making it something, you're changing the constituents, changing the form of it, so it's more active and more efficient. And if that piece is left out, then the homeopathic remedy is not nearly as effective.
Oh, okay, so here's one of those mind-bending sort of things out there. Okay, everybody get ready, because this is gonna be a mind twister here. The less we have of the substance, and the more that it has been succussed or potentized, the stronger the beneficial effects. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Less is truly more.
Ah, well, that's my motto. My last name is Lesser, and I tell people, well, you get more with lesser.
See, exactly. Less, and it's so true. And it's much more gentle for the body. You're not giving the body a medicine that is that's super overpowering. Conventional medicine now tries to mimic homeopathy in the application of certain medicines by giving a medicine that would cause similar effects, but it's such in large doses that it overpowers the body, and thus the side effects become huge. And we don't have that with homeopathy.
Wow.
The example I'm speaking to in particular right now that comes to mind is ADHD. Attention hyperactivity disorder is, you know, the common conventional treatment is Ritalin or some, you know, an upper essentially. It's an antihistamine.
Yeah, some form of pharmaceutical speed.
Of pharmaceutical speed, absolutely. And so you're giving, and people think, what? You're giving my child who's already hyperactive, you're going to give him speed or her speed? And the reason that it's effective to some extent is because it's actually acting. Because it's a similar entity. It's acting like that law of similars. Two similar things not coexisting in the same space. But if you remember when I first told you about what homeopathy is, I said if they're similar, they'll either destroy each other or the stronger of the two will overpower. So in this case, this is where the conventional medicine has gone a little bit of astray, is they'll give the Ritalin, for example, and it's too strong. And so now you have severe side effects, and you can develop Tourette's-like syndromes, or the child will quit growing, or some of these things, because the medicine is too much. It's too much for the body to take.
Ah, so you may have handled their ADHD, but given them some other stuff that's even worse.
Now they're not growing as well. Or you know, one of the major side effects that I've seen several times is they'll develop tics or you know, tremors, kind of like Tourette's sort of like syndrome, in their, and that's irreversible, that's permanent damage potentially.
Ooh, well, this is not good. Now, while you brought up ADHD, I'm just kind of wondering, because people would be curious, okay, well, you know, what can you do? I mean, what's this stuff good for? And, of course, this gives me a good chance to bring up your website, if it's okay to mention it.
Certainly.
www.purehomeopathy, that's purehomeopathy.com, and that's where you can, of course, click on homeopathy and take a view of a list of things that this can work on. And I'd like you, of course, because not everyone's sitting there at their computer ready to see this, can you help us to know the broad spectrum beneficial effects of the things that this can work on?
Absolutely. So homeopathy can treat any dynamic disease. And I'll list a few, and then I'll come back and tell you what I mean by dynamic disease.
Okay.
So homeopathy can treat general health concerns, such as acne, or acute or chronic pain, allergies and asthma, chronic fatigue or arthritis, diabetes potentially, digestive problems, fertility problems. That's a huge issue right now in a large percentage of my practice. The flu, insomnia, migraine headaches, multiple sclerosis, any other autoimmune condition. In terms of mental health, which...
So that's like fibromyalgia also?
Absolutely, like fibromyalgia.
Okay.
Other illnesses in terms... So that's our general. We also can look at mental health, so anxiety or bipolar disorder or depression or even grief. Grief is something that can be very well assisted with the right homeopathic medicine. We can treat women's conditions, premenstrual syndrome, menstrual irregularities, menopause, pregnancy problems. I love treating pregnant women because there's nothing they can do when they're pregnant and miserable, and homeopathy is so effective. Children. So here we've come back to ADD or ADHD or allergies and asthma or severe colic or eczema or ear infections, you know, problems with teething. So really the list can go on and on and on. The key to being sure that homeopathy is right is really being sure that the illness is a dynamic illness, meaning it's caused from an imbalance in the body. If the disease is caused from what I like to call health hygiene or an unhealthy lifestyle, then homeopathy will be effective, but it may not be 100% effective.
Can you just give a for instance of, you know, of these kinds of things where you know, someone's lifestyle, what they might be doing that you say, well, this, you know, can, you know, be, you know, one of the areas where homeopathy might not be very effective?
Certainly. I'm going to stick with the example of ADD and ADHD. It's very, very manageable treating with homeopathy because there's a certain dynamic imbalance in the body that makes somebody susceptible towards being hyperactive. However, there are significant hygienic or lifestyle contributions towards ADD or ADHD. There was a huge study done in England not too long ago with children who had ADHD, and they gave these children foods that had artificial colors and preservatives such as sodium benzoate. And the children had X amount, and what they did was they measured the severity of their symptoms of ADHD. And what they found was these children who had the artificial colors and artificial preservatives, they found their ADHD symptoms were as much as 50% more intense than those children who had ADHD who didn't get the artificial preservatives.
So my example
here is if someone has ADHD, we absolutely must, as a responsible homeopath, look at the health hygiene. We must look at their diet. We must make sure that they're sleeping at night. We must make sure they have activities. And we must prescribe the right homeopathic medicine for the most effective response. If we were to just do homeopathy and not pay attention to their food, say they're still eating foods that are loaded with artificial colors or artificial dyes and sodium benzoates, such common food in children these days, if we ignore that part completely, then their ADHD symptoms under homeopathy will get better to a certain extent, but they certainly aren't going to improve all the way.
And that
goes for any medicine. You really have to pay attention to what I call health hygiene for any medicine to be effective.
Now, here brings up an interesting question. I'm just curious because when you're talking lifestyle changes, it's easy to make recommendations, and for I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people implementing that recommendation, even though they know, I mean, Doc, you've told me so many times, I need to do this. I know I need to do this. The family tells me I need to do this. My friends tell me I need to do this. I can't get myself to do this. And it brings up an interesting thing because you had made mention of homeopathy for some mental or emotional kinds of things. I don't even know if someone wants to make some lifestyle changes and they're kind of stuck. Is there anything homeopathy can do to help support them to kind of get some inner alignment to go ahead and move ahead on desired changes?
Certainly, absolutely. And that's where we can use homeopathy before we address the lifestyle problems or issues to become in balance a little bit and to get feeling 40 or 50% better. And then you feel 40 or 50% better than what you did before just from the remedy. And what's left is this disease of lifestyle. And now you have that strength of, oh, I can do this. And you've built this support a little bit more. And you've got the excitement that there is hope.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got proof that there's hope because you're feeling better.
And then it becomes much easier to implement these lifestyle changes. And lifestyle changes aren't easy, and especially in our American culture. We're not very open to a preservative or processed food-free lifestyle. And so it can be very, very, very difficult to muster up the strength to say, no, I need this to feel better. The remedy, if given ahead of time, will help your body strengthen enough to where now you can see how much better you feel and you can actually act on it and say, no, I want this for me.
Okay. Well, this is great. So you were mentioning, I guess, a little bit of, you know, some of the limits of homeopathy in terms of if someone's lifestyle is very non-supportive, a lot of chemicals, a lot of preservatives, this kind of thing, it can dilute some of the benefits. Are there any other kinds of things?
Certainly. I would say the other greatest limit in my perspective to homeopathy is the homeopaths themselves. And people say, what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
When I say that, because I throw myself right on into that, as that if homeopathy is very specific, if you do not give the right remedy, remember, because it's diluted down so much, the body notices no change. Therefore, you notice no change and you have no improvement. And your disease condition goes on just as it did if you had taken nothing.
Okay.
This is where homeopathy gets its black eye. When people say, oh, I tried that homeopathy and it didn't work. It's not that homeopathy didn't work. It's that you didn't have the right medicine. And if you didn't have the right medicine, then the disease state is going to continue as if nothing had happened. And that's a big limitation. And it's something that every homeopath experiences. Nobody bats a thousand, so to speak, as one of my teachers has said. And making sure that you give the right remedy. The right remedy selection can come down to little tiny things. For example, in a case of two women with depression, they can appear very similar. Both women can be irritable and want to be left alone, and they want salty, tangy foods, and they cry at little things, and they want to exercise. But the difference between those two women is one woman craves the sun, and one woman shuns the sun and doesn't want to be in the sun. These two women, that might be their only difference, and that's the key to prescribing the right remedy. If you miss that and you give the wrong homeopathic medicine, there's no change, and they continue to feel bad.
Hmm. Okay. Well, to me, I'm not sure who created this saying, this was kind of one of those not too kind sayings about medical doctors, is that they bury their mistakes, or their mistakes get buried. Not they bury them, but their mistakes get buried. The people die, and off they went. And that's, I said that easily, but that's incredibly sad, the number of people that die each year going into a hospital, and something goes awry somewhere, and they've lost their life. Now, here you're saying what is given by the British royal family and by Mahatma Gandhi and others is the best form of medicine and the most effective and the least expensive is now also the safest. So worst side, if I heard you correctly, if I went to a homeopath, like you, for instance, and at purehomeopathy.com, not that I'm going to mention your website a few more times, because I want people to go there and learn more about you, that the worst-case scenario is I didn't get the right remedy from you, so my symptoms don't improve.
Absolutely.
I don't end up with side effects and tics and liver disease and who knows what that I could from pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm over here just going, wow, talk about, putting the odds in our favor. If we didn't, go back. And usually, what do you see results? You track within, days or week or
mm-hmm.
two? Or?
Mm-hmm.
No, with that, so you can actually see changes fairly quickly.
You can see changes very quickly. And depending on the intensity of the illness, the changes can be very dramatic. Or they can be a little bit more gradual over time. But absolutely right, Kenneth, that the worst thing is we don't prescribe the right remedy. And that's evaluated. A good homeopath will pick up on that very quickly, go back and restudy the case and prescribe the correct remedy. And they'll study and study to make sure that they're giving the best homeopathic medicine to ensure that you're getting better.
Mm. Wow. Now, do you also work, because so many people in our culture, there's a statistic, I think about 300 million prescriptions for antidepressants alone, mm-hmm. let alone all the other things. I mean, there's no telling. I don't know if it reaches, half a billion or a billion prescriptions a year, but you probably would end up seeing some people that are on prescription medication. And what
if
that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do then?
Absolutely. If someone comes to me on medications, I leave that the same. We leave the medications the same. As long as they're consistent, meaning they're taking their medications regularly, we can evaluate what's happening with their case homeopathically. We can see if they're improving. Once I feel that they're improving and that they're stable, then I work with their prescribing physician and say, okay, let's consider backing off of these medications, these antidepressants. And it needs to be done supervised and slowly. If someone is doing really, really well under a homeopathic remedy and they just all of a sudden decide to stop their medication, that potentially can backfire. It's not necessarily the best thing. So it's important to make sure that it's supervised. But you can come to a homeopath and still be on the medications, start seeing improvement, and then work your way off the medications in a safe way. So now you're better as a whole. You're not dependent on taking a daily medication because you don't take a homeopathic medicine every single day. And you are better as a whole person, and now you have your life back.
Mm. Oh, this is wonderful. Now, I want to put out there, there may be some listeners that want to call in and ask some questions, and so I want to give out our numbers for people to call in the U.S., toll-free 877-876-5227. For the U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9222. 9756, and for other countries, 530-876-3222. And once again, we're talking here with Dr. Lisa Amerine, and her website, purehomeopathy.com, www.purehomeopathy. Did I spell that correctly?
Nope, H-O-M-E-O.
H-O-M-E-O, yes. I had the little light go on. It said, oops. I'd actually like to give the right website. Okay, good. Now, carrying on, let's say someone is doing pretty good, and they have a healthy lifestyle, and they're exercising, and their life is working pretty good. Why would that person want to consider homeopathy?
Certainly. Those are sometimes the best times to treat with homeopathy. Prevention is the best medicine. If you can prevent an illness, it's so much less expensive, so much less heartache than if you wait until a disease state has started. So if someone is healthy, they have no real complaints, you can still have your homeopathic case taken. There's always little symptoms, little quirks, like I like to call it, that we have that put us in a predisposition towards going in a particular way towards illness.
Okay.
If we can identify those.
Yeah.
So,
now,
go ahead.
I'm just curious because I don't know if you're able to, you know, to give some examples. You know, and I guess some of these, you know, what you would call quirky things are just little unusual signals that a person that's feeling good might not give any heed to because they're feeling good, but they would mean something to you.
Certainly, certainly. I'll give an example of a patient I saw in my office this last week. This was a young woman who was very healthy. She was coming just for prevention. She didn't have anything wrong with her. She's excellent lifestyle. She never had any problems with her health. She just wanted to make sure that it was most. And so that it was the most health she could have. And so what I did is I get her whole case history, and then I look at what I call general questions, or what homeopaths or Hahnemann, Samuel Hahnemann, will identify as general questions.
Uh-huh.
For example, different people have different body temperatures. You have the person that's the first to put the coat on in their room, or the first person to take their coat off, the person who's always hot. Mm-hmm. These are not somebody who's excessively warm or excessively cold doesn't mean that they're sick or they have some horrible disease, but I can use that symptom to find the best homeopathic medicine. Other examples are foods. Certain people crave chocolate. Certain people crave salty foods. Some people crave, they want dirt or they want, you know, sandy stuff, and it certainly doesn't mean they have an illness, although they might. They're general symptoms. They're kind of like a latent disease or a hidden illness that means we have this predisposition to go a certain way if we get under the right circumstances. So if you can identify those, as I called them, quirks, give the best homeopathic medicine that matches those symptoms, their dynamic susceptibility increases, which means that they're not going to be susceptible towards the common cold when it comes around. Or they're not going to be the saving. Maybe this person has a family history of an autoimmune disease, and she just wants to prevent that, yet she's completely healthy. If we can make sure that the dynamic susceptibility towards disease is as strong as possible, then when we have our day-to-day life stresses, we're not going to get sick. Our body can work with it and stay healthy.
Hmm. Wow. Now I'm just thinking to myself, the term that's coming to my mind is optimal health or optimizing one's performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you ever work with athletes, or people that just absolutely, they are top performers, and it could be what I would call a business athlete.
Uh-huh.
a person that is in the business, the sport of business, and they have to perform at peak levels, and they have to have the best mental clarity and quick decisions and have to perform under pressure, or it could be the real athlete playing a game, golf, tennis, you name it. And I don't know if homeopathy would support those folks.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a large number of professional athletes that use homeopathy for that reason, as well as if they get hurt, using homeopathy to speed up their healing. So athletes love homeopathy.
Wow.
Because they have that optimal. They are operating at their optimal level.
And this is where, even though they're very healthy, these little quirks or idiosyncrasies in their behavior that wouldn't come up until they're really interviewed by a skilled homeopath that would be asking certain questions. Do you prefer sleeping on one side over the other?
Mm-hmm.
This, that, or the other. There can be so many unique questions,
mm-hmm.
If I'm understanding correctly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that will give you clues about ways to help balance a person further, and a person might not even be thinking, oh, this could be interfering with my performance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huh.
And those are the little idiosyncrasies that you use. Do you sleep on one side or another? Different people make different noises in their sleep. Some people smile in their sleep. What do you do? Because you smile in your sleep certainly doesn't mean that you're ill, but it does. It's a great symptom to prescribe a homeopathic medicine to optimize your overall health.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Talk about a best-kept secret,
mm-hmm.
something that's safe and natural, that has broad spectrum benefits for a wide range of health conditions, as well as for getting optimal health and peak performance, and it doesn't have a downside. There's no side effects to the stuff. The worst case, if you got the wrong homeopathic remedy, nothing would happen instead of some improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to ask. I mean, you know, what are we on? Have we been all the whole culture smoking the wrong stuff? Because this is so obviously a great thing. Why is it not used more frequently? Or why isn't this being researched more? Because it's this is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. This is a great question, and it goes there's lots and lots and lots of history behind this. There are certainly studies, great studies done with homeopathy. One of the most difficult things about doing a study in our world of medicine today, we want a double-blinded study, and we want to know the one thing that makes a difference. Well, human life is not like that. We are dynamic. There's so many constituents that put us together, and there's so many things with the homeopathic medicine that is taken into place to find the right remedy. So what happens in studies, or a lot of people will say they've read studies and it shows no help. For example, there was a study, I think it was a dental study, where everybody got Arnica with their dental work, and it didn't show that it was that effective. And what's happened is they're assuming that we all react the exact same way when we're in pain.
Mm.
And the conventional standard gold standard of medicine is we want one medicine for one illness. So if you have a tooth injury, we want to give you this one medicine and it should work. Well, it's not like that. One person who has dental work, for example, might be really painful and they don't want to touch anything. One person might really want to hold a cold ice cube to that area that was just worked on. Those are two very different indications for different remedies. If we could appreciate that and give the individualized medicine based on that person's symptoms, then the studies of homeopathy would be infallible.
Ah, okay. So it would all so you'd want to be basically limiting the parameters of the study if you were going to use one homeopathic remedy to say, okay, these people have to fit this lifestyle profile.
Exactly. And if they don't, they're not going to react. And the gold standard of medical studies doesn't hold that. They don't want to look at it that way. It's the same way with antidepressant medications. Certainly not everybody reacts to something, but homeopathy or natural medicine as a whole really gets a bad rap for that. And part of that is the very strong individualization that goes on.
Mm.
And then, I mean, we can face the other piece of it is you can't patent a homeopathic medicine. So you can get a homeopathic medicine for depression that costs you $5 in my office, or you can go to the primary conventional doctor for a prescription for Prozac, and I have no idea what the prescriptions cost. You know, depending on your copay or if you pay out of pocket, can be anywhere from, you know, $30 to hundreds of dollars a month. And there's certainly a different financial aspect of what's being made in that. And that's a big piece.
Huh. Okay, so there's some, I don't know if we would call it economic or political implications, that there wouldn't be this groundswell in the business community to say, oh, more homeopathy, because it's not a big profit center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you couple that with, if you do give the wrong medicine, people laugh at it and say it's not useful, where at least if you give the wrong antidepressants, you feel worse, so at least you notice something.
Yeah.
You know, where homeopathy, if you're depressed and you take the wrong medicine, you don't feel any different, then you're like, this isn't working, it's not helpful. And so you couple that with the lack of huge economic profit, and it becomes a big area.
Now, one thing that I'm a little curious about, too, we haven't gotten into what I think might be a distinction. If I go into a health food store, there's now a growing number of, I'm not sure if I'm going to use the right term, I call them kind of like multiple remedy homeopathics, where on the label it might say, you know, sleeping or snoring or sinus, and it can have five or six low dilution homeopathic remedies in it.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of like, I guess, just a general, because no one has ever in the health food store interviewed me about my lifestyle or little quirks to pick one, and they don't have that information on these remedies. So I don't know if you can contrast that with the kind of work that someone would do by going to your website or calling you at www.purehomeopathy, purehomeopathy.com. And they can, can they call in and consult with you, or how would that work too?
Absolutely. They can call in and consult and to see what would be the most appropriate for you.
Okay. And can we give out your office number?
Certainly.
Okay, and that is?
That number is 303-665-2423.
And you're located in
I am in Lafayette, Colorado, just outside of Boulder.
Okay, good.
So I want to answer your question about the combination remedy that's there, that what you had brought up, where you go to the health food store and you say sinus, or it might say teething. And for some people, they're very, very effective. What they've done is they've taken six or seven homeopathic medicines and they've put them together in hopes that it will help whatever your condition is. There's a couple problems with this, however. A homeopathic medicine, Gandhi makes the comment, remember when we were talking about Gandhi earlier?
Uh-huh.
He says that homeopathy is the most complete medical science. This is because the homeopathic medicine's indications are very, very clear. So if someone takes a homeopathic medicine, they do what's called proving the medicine. They take it in larger amounts to create symptoms. So we know exactly what symptoms are caused when somebody takes too much of a homeopathic medicine. Thus, when someone is ill and they have their own dynamic illness and they have symptoms, it's as if they overdosed on this particular substance that would be the best homeopathic medicine for them.
Mm. Okay, so, they haven't done that. Their condition has come from another source, but the symptoms would be the same as if they'd taken too much of this homeopathic remedy.
Exactly.
Ah.
So with these combination remedies, we don't know what happens when we take, say, belladonna together with calcarea, with hyoscyamus. These are just homeopathic remedies. We've never taken all three of them together to overdose all at once on all of those to see how they interact with each other. So with a combination homeopathic medicine, while some people will say they're very effective, it takes the science away because we no longer know exactly why you're taking that medicine.
Okay.
When you take a single homeopathic medicine, we know that a person who proved that medicine or they overdosed on that medicine got symptoms A, B, C, and D. So when the person is ill and they have symptoms A, B, C, and D, we can apply this law of similars, our two positive pieces of the magnet. We can apply that, and it follows this law of nature, and healing comes on. When it's a combination, we lose that science, and we lose our scientific reputation.
Wow. So there's some. This is some important information about some reasons for a person to know more about the specifics of homeopathy and not just limit homeopathy to something that you can get at a health food store, or now even there's some homeopathic remedies that are being advertised on TV, which is kind of a neat breakthrough, and yet based on our conversation, there could be an upside of benefiting some people and a downside of people ending up poo-pooing it because it wasn't really symptom-specific to that to enough individuals. And they could get discouraged about homeopathy.
Yes. And then people say homeopathy doesn't work. And I go back to it's not that homeopathy doesn't work. It wasn't applied correctly.
That remedy was not specific enough to your situation.
Correct.
And when we get that situation-specific applied, it's sort of like if you had a plumbing problem and you called on a plumber, but he went to your neighbor's house, it's just not close enough to get the job done at your place.
Exactly. Even though he was a good plumber.
Yeah, a good plumber and, went over to your neighbor, but it didn't fix your problem.
Exactly. That's a beautiful analogy. I love it.
Okay. So when someone comes in, what can they expect? As we going to wrap up in the next few minutes, what would they expect by contacting you or coming in to see you or a homeopath?
So what would happen is that they would come in with their complaints, their chief complaints. I'll use the example of migraine headaches. I want to know exactly what the migraine headache is like. The more understanding we have of the migraine headache, the better we can find the remedy. For example, I want to know where in the head it is, what side of the head. What exactly does it feel like? Does it feel like you're wearing a heavy hat made of metal? Or does it feel like your head is being squeezed in a vise? What does it feel like? I'm looking for what makes you feel better, other than medications. The fact that Advil helps does not help a homeopath at all. But are you better when you lay in a dark room? Are you better if you can be walking around? What makes you worse? What things will make you feel worse? Are you worse with noises? I'm looking for how you have changed as a whole. Are you less thirsty than normal? Are you more thirsty than normal? Are you more irritable than normal or less irritable? So these exact qualifications of what happens when you're in the state of a migraine. And I do this with every single complaint. So if you have 4 or 5 complaints, we go through these steps every single time. Followed with that, I do a general review of systems to make sure we haven't left anything out. Because we're looking for that characteristic symptom to prescribe the best homeopathic medicine. And then I go through these general questions that I was talking about earlier, these idiosyncrasies. You know, some people sleep on their right side, some people sleep on their belly. How do you sleep? So I go through a whole list of general questions that are always fun, but I always let people know that I'm doing them, because otherwise you'll say, why does what position I sleep in have anything to do with my headache?
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be. Why does she care about this?
Is she charging by the hour and just asking me hundreds of useless questions
exactly,
to run up the bill?
Exactly. That's not what I'm doing at all. But all but that's what people will think. And so I always let them know that I ask these general questions. From there, I do a physical exam. I look at your hands. I look at your feet. I look in your mouth, in your eyes, in your ears. I'm looking for what's characteristic about you to prescribe the most homeopathic medicine to ensure the most safe and effective and economical healing that you can have.
Wow. this is just amazing, Dr. Amarine. I look forward to people learning more about homeopathy, going to your website, www.purehomeopathy.com. That's purehomeopathy. Or calling your office in Lafayette, Colorado at 303-665-2423 to to investigate more and to be able to get benefit from the tremendous experience that you have. And I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on our program and share this quality of information with our listeners, and just wish you nothing but the best in getting the word out there more and more and more, and I'm glad to help.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been my pleasure.
Well, thank you, and to my beloved listeners out there, spread the word about homeopathy. Tune in next week for more interesting adventures on advanced living. And until then, I just wish God bless to all of you and say thank you for tuning in. And until we meet again, goodbye for now. Let's go.